Good afternoon. If the congregation would take your hymnals, turn to number 772. 772. We'll stand together as we sing, "When We All Get to Heaven." Let's stand, please. Bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, your only begotten Son. We come, Father, with hearts of love and praise and thanksgiving as we are here to celebrate the life that you blessed Norma Kirschman with on this earth for 100 years. And what a beautiful life you gave her. And Father, as she longed for heaven, as we've sung this first hymn of heaven, she's walking the streets of gold. She's seeing you in all of your glory and all of the angels that are there in heaven and her loved ones. And Lord, that brings joy to our hearts and thankfulness. And so we ask that you bless this service as we remember her, as we look to your word. We thank you for your presence here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Good afternoon to all, and thank you for coming. Again, as I said there in the prayer, we are here to celebrate Norma's life of 100 years and almost 101, which would have been on February 21st this year. We did have quite a celebration on her 100th. Last February at the care center, and it was a beautiful, beautiful day. Norma loved certainly the beauty of God's creation. I know so many times in the care center she'd speak of the birds outside her window and the flowers and the trees. Oh, the trees, she would say, look at the leaves on those trees. And she had given me a poem to read probably 3 or 4 years ago, she asked me to save this and read it today. And I found it, thankfully. It's a beautiful poem. Sometimes when faith is running low, and I cannot fathom why things are so, I walk alone among the flowers I grow and learn the answers to all I would know. For among my flowers I have come to see life's miracle and its mystery. And standing in silence and reverie, my faith comes flooding back to me. In the tiny petal of a tiny flower that grew from a tiny pod is the miracle and the mystery of all creation and of God. Isn't that beautiful? It is. And so that took me to this verse from Romans chapter 1, verse 20, which says this: For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And often, as she would talk about the flowers and God's creation, almost every time her follow-up statement would be, how can people not believe that there is a God that created all of this? And I would say, amen, Norma, amen to that. I want to read her obituary at this time. Norma was born on February 21st, 1919. Can you imagine? World War I was just coming to an end. In Menno, South Dakota, to Walter and Matha Muchiknaus Heiser. She was baptized on April 20th, 1919, and confirmed on March 21st, 1933, by Reverend Hildebrand at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church here in Menno, South Dakota. Norma graduated from Menno High School in 1936 and worked for a short time in Sioux Falls. Now, I want to add this in here. At our school here, they have pictures. She's about the first or second class where they have the pictures of all the graduates, and she is on there. She married Rudy Rudolph G. Kirschman on August 20th, 1937, a union which would last for 73 and a half years. They farmed north of Menno for several years. In 1941, they moved to California, returning to Menno in 1945, and eventually settling on a farm on the southwestern edge of the Menno city limits, which was right here. Norma and Rudy had no children, but opened their home to several of Norma's siblings for a number of years. Norma lived in her own home until 2013, when she moved to the Menno Olivet Care Center. Norma was an avid reader, enjoyed doing crossword puzzles, playing Scrabble, and playing bridge with her card club group. She enjoyed music and sang with the ladies' quartet at the Salem Reformed Church, where she faithfully attended. Norma is survived by a sister, by her sister Karen Stefan of Brandon, who's here today, by her two brothers, Dale and Aline Heiser of Westland, Michigan. He was not able to come, and her brother Jim and his wife Lynn Heiser of Omaha, Nebraska, and Jim is here today, and numerous nieces and nephews. Norma was preceded in death by her parents, her husband Rudy, her brothers Donald Heiser, Alan Heiser, and Gary Heiser. One other thing I would like to read for you. This is a letter that Norma wrote in 2007, and that was the year of their 70th anniversary, which would have been in August, as we read. As we came up to Thanksgiving that year, I had asked three people from our church if they would write a letter of what they were thankful to God for that I could read as a part of that service that evening. And Norma was one of those I asked, and I saved that letter too in her beautiful handwriting. Here it is. The year of 2007 has been a year of reflections and ponderings for me. I think of God's love and the blessings He has bestowed on myself and my kind, patient, loving husband. I thank the Lord with all my heart for the 70 years of marriage He has given us. I am in awe. I think of our church members and their outpouring of love and enthusiasm as they prepared and gifted us with our 70th anniversary open house. What a wonderful day. If I can read it. Again, God's love shines through and touches many. I am thankful for our church family, dedicated pastor, and for the love of family members and friends. Nor do I forget the freedom of worship and speech our country enjoys. As I look out our picture window daily, and observe our beautiful church, and as night falls, and the spire is lit up and paints and points towards heaven, I realize again and again how much I have to be thankful for. And so with thanksgiving in my heart, I say, dear Lord, thank you for your gracious love and many blessings. Norma. And it was after that time that one of the ladies had asked a young man to take pictures of the spire at night. It was about 8 pictures, I think. And she had that in her room at the care center for quite a long time. Okay, sorry. The 23rd Psalm. I would like to invite you to say that with me, if you are able. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, verses very familiar to all of us, Jesus said on the night before the cross, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Amen. This time, Teresa Anderson is going to sing a special for us, "I've Got a Mansion," based on that very passage of Scripture that we just read.
A little silver.
Thank you, Teresa and Joanne. Very beautiful, beautiful. And we think about that, where she is now. Today, she is there. Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 26 from the New Living Translation. Paul said, "For I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that causes me shame, but that I will always be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past, and that my life will always honor Christ, whether I live or I die. For to me, living is for Christ, and dying is even better. Yet if I live, that means fruitful service for Christ. I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. Sometimes I want to live, and sometimes I long to go and be with Christ. That would be far better for me, but it is better for you that I live. I am convinced of this, so I will continue with you, so that you will grow and experience the joy of your faith. Then, when I return to you, you will have even more reason to boast about what Christ Jesus has done for me." And one other reading from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. "Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." Amen. We'll sing one more from the hymnal. You can remain seated. Number 762, another song of heaven, as Norma longed so much for heaven. That's why we chose these hymns. What a day that will be. Happy golden shore, what a day, glorious day. that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day, glorious day, that will be. Amen. And I'd say by now she's had the royal tour of heaven. Yes, by our Lord and Savior himself. These verses from Philippians chapter 1 are the main ones I want to focus on here as we think about Norma's life, as we think about the Apostle Paul. Because as we think about life itself, we have to think about death, because that's what the passage in Hebrews told us, and we all know it is so. And as we are faced with death, we also think about life, eternal life. Eternity is a long time. These things go hand in hand. And so we're so fortunate and blessed to have the Word of God that gives us all the promises of heaven and tells us exactly how to get there through Christ alone. These promises that affect how we live our lives on this earth and where we will spend eternity. And so we see here as we start out the heart of the Apostle Paul himself wanting to honor the Lord throughout his life when he said, "For I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that causes me shame, but that I will always be bold for Christ as I have been in the past, and that my life will always honor Christ, whether I live or I die." And that should be all of our prayer right there, those verses, as we live life on this earth. And there's so many ways that we can honor Christ as we live our lives. There's so many different ways that we can be bold for Christ. Whatever the personality God has given us, that varies on what we do. Not everybody can knock on people's doors and tell them about Jesus. Some can, many can't. But what speaks louder than that is our actions, how we live our everyday lives for the Lord, faithfully serving him. As Paul said again, that my life will always honor Christ, whether I live or I die. And as I was thinking about Norma and her life and just a few ways of what did that look like as she tried her best to honor her Lord and Savior. And as we were talking with the family, or someone before just today was saying that really, as we mentioned Norma, we always mentioned Rudy and the vice versa. Because 73 and a half years of marriage, they were so tight together. But what did it mean? I think as she honored Christ, It meant taking her younger siblings in and being their mother when their own mother wasn't able to be there any longer for them, to provide for them, and all that that entailed, and all that that meant, and all the sacrifices that were made. It meant, this was Rudy and Norma really together, but we're talking about Norma today, it meant that God, when God put on their hearts to give the land for this church to be built on in the early 1960s, that had to be a big step. I know they had told me in years gone by, you know, whenever you take a step like that, change does not come easy for a congregation, I'm talking. And there were plenty that thought the former church, as beautiful as it was good enough. And what do we need to build a new one for? And they'd come driving out to the house, to Rudy and Norma. What are you doing that for? What are you doing that for? But their minds were made up, and they blessed, and we are blessed because of it today. It meant singing in the ladies' quartet, as was brought out in the obituary, and she talked about that so often. And I know in her later years here, she'd always say, I don't have the voice to sing anymore. I love to sing, but I can't. It is not there. And I don't know, I know in the years that my parents were here, my dad pastored this church, that the quartet was Teresa's mother, Luella Hondel, and Elsie Seiler, Hilly Pressler, and Norma Kirschman. And my mom played for that quartet in the years that my parents served here. And Norma often would bring that back to me, how she loved singing. And of course, at that time, it was an upright piano there. And they'd sit right there, and they'd get chit-chatting, the four of those ladies, and giggling. And she said, and your mother would look over the top of that piano and give us the eye, and we knew we had to be quiet. And we talked about that just recently, not even a month ago. And I said, Norma, I know that look. I had that look many times over growing up as a boy. I know it. It meant being a faithful member here to this church, and she was. All of her years, she was. And of course, as the years went in the care center, that part changed some. But I have to tell you, one of the greatest Christmas presents this year was when she got to come. Mark and Teresa brought her. It was on December 22nd, just a month ago. They brought her to church on that Sunday morning, and I wish you could have seen her face that day. She was beaming, radiant with joy as she came down in that wheelchair, and they set her about right where you are, Harriet, in that spot right there. Oh. And you know what? I was up here with all of our high school students, 25 of them at least, as we were, this was during the Sunday school hour yet, and we were practicing for the Christmas program. And when we were all done and they were here, and I said, okay, all of you, and my back was to you and their faces were all out, I said, I want you to know about that lady sitting in that pew right there. And I told them her story. And with tears, I told them. And I pray that that sticks with those kids. I believe it will. Yes. Paul said, this always happens. Can't read my notes then. That my life will always honor Christ, whether I live or I die. Now, I didn't get to look out on the table all the way through the stuff, but she had a little card in her room that another resident, Ruth Breeding, had colored for her very beautifully, and all it said was, God is good. And she kept that on her dresser in that room. And many times over the last couple years, we'd talk about things, and difficulties of getting to be 100, difficulties she was facing, and she'd always come, she'd say, "Remember that card on my dresser?" It took me a few times of this. "Oh yeah, I remember." And she'd say, "God is good. God is good." And she'd follow it up with, "And God has been good to me." And with that was, "And God has been good to Rudy and I throughout our years." But Paul goes on and he says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. The New Living, it says, dying is even better. Yet if I live, that means fruitful service for Christ. I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. Sometimes I want to live, and sometimes I long to go and be with Christ. That would be far better for me, Paul said. But it is better for you, he was writing to the Philippian church at that time. It's better for you that I live. And so he speaks of that conflict there within himself of heaven and life on earth. He was torn and he was in prison as he was writing this letter to that church. But yet he knew that his departure, it was not quite time for it yet. He knew it wasn't. And he got out of prison and he did much more ministry and fruitful service, as he said. You know, Norma, as we all know, she longed for heaven. And over her 6 years that she was here at the care center, I have to say that longing, and you know it, most of you, that her longing for heaven only grew greater. With each passing year, she longed for heaven. She talked about heaven. She had dreams about heaven. One time it was of the peace of God. She talked about that, I bet, for a full year, a dream that she had of the peace of God that was so incredible. And I said, "Norma, and that's heaven." And then she read one of Billy Graham's books about heaven as she was able. In the last year, her eyesight grew more dim and she was scared she was going to lose it altogether and she couldn't read as much. But every conversation, longing for heaven, and then it would usually come, why hasn't he taken me yet? And then she would sometimes follow that up with a statement like this, "I hope he lets me in." I'd say, "Norma," and we'd go through this conversation then after each time, "I hope he lets me in." And I'd say, "Norma, do you believe in Jesus?" "Yes." I'd say, "Norma, have you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior?" "Well, yes." I said, "Then heaven is your home. You are God's child and he loves you." "I know." But "I've done things that are not pleasing to the Lord." I'd say, "We all have, Norma. We all have. It's not in our own goodness. We could never get there. It's in Christ alone." And then sometimes I'd read this verse to her from 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." Right here's the phrase. I'd say, "Right here, Norma, listen. That you may know that you have eternal life." You can know, Norma, it's not based on you. It's based on Jesus. Okay, thank you. You know, and on we'd go with our visit. And then, but how will he have time for us all? There's millions of people in heaven. I say, "Norma, he's God. How does he have time for you now?" "Oh, he does." So it just was so cute and neat that her thoughts were always on heaven, always on Jesus. This, again, was just barely a month ago when she said to me, I just had a dream. And it was Jesus standing there, and I was on one side and Rudy was on the other, and we were there with Jesus. I said, amen. And that's how it will be. So yes, the longing of heaven, as Paul said, I'm torn between the two desires. And yet, and she was too, and I imagine we all are in some sense, because yet even in these last months, she would want to go to heaven, but then on another day she'd say, I think I might make it to 101. So, but Paul said, I am convinced of this going on. So I will continue with you that you will grow and experience the joy of your faith. And you know, going back to October, just this last October, boy, we all thought that was going to be it. Literally, there were a day or two when we left the hospital in Freeman, I thought surely the phone is going to ring in the middle of the night and she's gone. She came back and rallied incredibly, and we had two beautiful months with her with a joy that was over and above what she ever really had before for the last years. I mean, she would laugh, and there were difficult times too, yes, but we could get her out of that and the laughing, and it was just fun. Why am I here, she'd say, Norma, so that we can just have the joy of this time with you for a little longer on this earth. It wasn't until Paul's second imprisonment that we read when he writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, where he knew the end was, it was there, and he was going to be executed for his faith, Paul, and he was. And he said, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. And Norma could say that. She could say that. Now, life on this earth is so short. Really, even being blessed to live 100 years. And we think of all that she saw, the changes over the 100 years. Incredible. But compared to eternity, that's just a snap of our finger, isn't it? We all face death. But in Christ alone, we face death with confidence. And that is the key. And so the tears, they're tears of joy for me, really. They really are. I'm so happy. I think we all are that she is home. And to so many of you here that helped her in various ways, God bless you. During these last years, you know, we all know she was a fiercely independent woman, right? A beautiful woman, liked things just exact, very precise, dressed, her makeup, everything. That was a pretty big day when that wig left. But she was beautiful, beautiful. So thank you to all, my goodness, the family, the friend family. Yes, God bless you. This verse right here, I'll close with this. I read it before. We know it well, but it is absolutely important. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He did not say, I am a way among many. He did not say, I am a truth among many others. No, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, period. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you. Lord, as we know you, Jesus, there is that longing for heaven within each of our hearts, as there was for Norma. Thank you again for such a beautiful life, a beautiful lady that we were privileged to interact with on this earth. In such amazing ways, she touched us, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd stand, those that are able, please. And I will have a closing prayer from which I will go into then the Lord's Prayer. And here we're used to using the words debts and debtors when we come to that point. Excuse me, let's pray. Father, we love you with all of our hearts. We do give you glory and praise. We give you our highest praise because you are the giver of life. Father, 100 years ago, you breathed into this beautiful lady the breath of life. And Lord, you are the conqueror of death, and we're so glad that you are, because where would we be at these times? Because of Jesus, your word says, we don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope. And we don't, because you are the resurrection and the life. And you said that whoever believes in you, though he or she may die physically, yet shall he or she live. You said whoever lives and believes in you would never die. And we know that Norma is very much alive there with you in heaven. And so, Father, with faith in your great mercy and in your wisdom, we do entrust Norma to your eternal care. And we praise you, Father, for your steadfast love for Norma all the days of her earthly life. As you heard her say so many times, you are good. You have been good to Norma and Rudy, and we thank you for that. Father, for all the memories that she has left us with, for all that she still is in each of our hearts and minds, we say thank you. And finally, Lord God, we thank you that for Norma, death itself is now past, and she has entered heaven to spend eternity with you, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you'll please receive the benediction. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Savior, Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good, that you may do God's will, that working in you which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn will be 147, How Great Thou Art. As we process out, we will go to the Menno Cemetery for the committal service. And you're welcome to come. If you don't care to go out in the cold, we'd sure like the family would love for you to stay and have cake and coffee and just to visit with them once we get back. It does not take a long time at the cemetery. 147, How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great.